Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Thank you very much, Johnny Bowden. All the news at 5:30. Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, Feb 28th, the second last day of summer. It's the last day of the working week, but it's also the day State of Origin footy returns, and it's the morning after the Australians put on a clinic with the bat to dismantle Bangladesh in the Women's T20 World Cup.
It is a comprehensive win to Australia by 86 runs over a team that they've never ever played before in international cricket.
And despite a thunderstorm halting play in the Marsh Series match in Perth, the Bombers started 2020 off on the right foot.
Ryan. Here we go, Kelly. He's missed a couple he'd normally kick. Didn't miss that.
We'll hear from the Essendon camp in a moment. We've also got all the wash-up from the Women's World Cup. The Aussie men have claimed a series win in South Africa, plus the latest on the Olympics, whether they'll go ahead or not. We're also 2 weeks away from the Australian Grand Prix. There's so much more to get through in the run to 6 o'clock this Friday morning.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
23 minutes to 6 o'clock this Friday morning, Feb 28, usually the last day of summer, but being an Olympic year and a leap year, we've got one more day to go, although if you do happen to be up and about at this time of the morning, there's a bit of rain around, it's about 14 degrees on its way to a top of 19 today, so summer's sort of finishing with a bit of winter feel about it. Probably works that way with the footy just around the corner. On the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock this morning, Adam Ramanaskis, Adam White and Daniel Harford. We're heading over to New Zealand a couple of times this morning. Zach Murray, the defending champ of the New Zealand Open, started his defence yesterday. He shot 3 under the card. He's in the top 10 at the moment. He's currently... he's tied for 11th. He shot 3 under in the New Zealand Open. We'll try to find you a winner on the early mail. Then after 7 o'clock, Dean Lester and Nick Quinn are taking a look at a big day's racing at Flemington tomorrow. And we're going to head over to Tasmania. Bo Webster absolutely tore him to shreds with the bat. Yes, he shot 187 off 187 in the first innings. And then he was out at the crease yesterday with Tim Payne, scoring 29 not out to help Tasmania claim a Sheffield Shield victory over Western Australia with only about 10 or 12 balls remaining in the day's play. After 8 o'clock, Ryan Fox, the favourite for this year's New Zealand Open, is going to join us. He shot 2 under the card, tied for 17th after day one. He's got an afternoon tee this afternoon. He's one of Daniel Hufford's favourite players, so he will join us after 8 o'clock. And then to round it all out this Friday morning, Caitlin Bassett, the captain of the Australian Diamonds. They will have their charity match to raise money for the bushfires on Sunday. Up in Sydney, it's Lisa Alexander's final match in charge of the Diamonds. So all that coming up this morning after 6 o'clock. Before that, though, we've got plenty of sport news to get through. And before we do start with any of it, there's a little snippet in the paper that we want to congratulate our very own Daniel Harford on today. He's been announced the VAFA's Big V Women's Team State of Origin coach a bit later on in the year. That game will be at Elsternwick Park on June 6th. We know what Harf's doing with the Carlton Women's Team. Of course, you've got a big grand final rematch game this weekend to focus his attention on, but he's been announced yesterday as the coach of the Ammo's Big V women's side a bit later on in the season. Moving to cricket, Elisa Healy, she's back in form in a big, big way. Last night she opened the batting with Beth Mooney against Bangladesh at Manuka Oval. She scored 83 off 53 balls that included 10 fours, 3 sixes. Beth Mooney, partner at the other end, 81 not out from 58 balls, 9 fours in her innings. They set Bangladesh a target of 1 for 189. The Bangladesh women, in reply, could only salvage 9 for 103 with Megan Shute, the star, with the ball. 3 for 21 from her 4 overs. Jess Johnson, 2 for 17. And it all points towards a massive game at the Junction Oval on Monday. The Australians are coming up against New Zealand, who dropped their game to India yesterday, which means second spot in their group is wide open. Of course, finishing second behind India will take you through to the semi-finals. And Elisa Healy, after her 83 and then magnificent glove work, she was named player of the match. And here she is in the wash-up of the game, looking ahead to New Zealand.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about how we've been playing over the last couple of weeks in particular, but it was nice for us to go out there and put all that aside and play the way we wanted to, and to get that result tonight was obviously fantastic against a side that's really unknown to us. Probably allowed us to just think about ourselves for a change and just go out there and play how we wanted to, and I think we executed that. As a batting group, we spoke about potentially not doing our job as well as we would have liked, so to be able to go out there and put a pretty decent score on the board on, you know, a fairly low and tricky wicket, in my opinion, so was pretty great, and hopefully that gives us some confidence moving forward. Monday's a pretty crucial game in the context of the World Cup, so we'll take a lot of confidence out of that, especially as a batting group. I think there's been a lot of talk, a lot of pressure on us to perform, and we haven't felt it from the inside. We just know that if we execute what we want to do, we'll get the desired result, and that showed tonight. So we're coming up on Monday against a side that we're really familiar with, so hopefully that suits us even more. Moons loves batting at Marnika Oval. I think she averages like 80 or something ridiculous here. So for me, I was just holding on for the ride and see if I could contribute for a change. So look, I think the left-hand, right-hand combination for us at the top is really effective, and especially today with a big breeze going across the ground, we're able to sort of target that shorter side if we could. So that was obviously worked really well for us, and hopefully it can moving forward.
You surprised that Katie Martin's come out on the front foot and said the pressure's on Australia as their World Cup?
Doesn't surprise me one bit. Loves a bit of banter, old Katie Martin. So look, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I think they've still got a game before us, I think. So they're well within their right to come out and try and put some pressure on us through their words, but we'll just focus on what we need to do and showing up on Monday and putting the best performance we can on the board. And if that means a semi-final, then fantastic. But if not, then we'll know that we've just played the way that we want to.
From Kat, is it a fair point considering you are hosting the World Cup and it could be the 100,000
at the gym? I don't think there's been any extra pressure on us at all. There's obviously been a lot of talk about it, but within the group I don't think there's that feeling. I think we're just going out there and trying to play the best we can. Obviously World Cups are incredibly difficult to win. We've been so successful at them by grinding wins out, and every single team in this competition is going to come really, really hard at us. They want to beat us, and they want to try and top the pool or come second in the pool, and we know that sometimes we have to sort of go in a defensive mindset and just absorb as much energy as we can and then push it back on them. So from that point of view, I don't think there's any extra pressure on us. We know it's going to be tricky. We knew it was coming into this World Cup. So no extra pressure, just the simple fact that everyone's coming very hard at us, and we just need to sort of absorb that energy that they're giving at us and make sure that we're doing the right thing to throw it right back.
So there's Elisa Healy, player of the match last night, scoring 83 with the Beth Mooney 81 not out. They beat Bangladesh in convincing fashion. The other game yesterday we mentioned was India and New Zealand. Now, the Indians set New Zealand 133 from their 20 overs, and they looked pretty much in control throughout most of their bowling innings. At the end of 19 overs, New Zealand were 5 for 118. Needing 16 runs in the final over to get there. Off the first ball of the final over, they scored a four, ran three singles, and then scored another four. So off the final ball of the over, they needed to hit a six or get a four to draw and take it to a super over. And this is what happened on the final ball of the innings.
Misses out. She nailed a yorker. Great effort from Amelia Kerr. It was a super effort. It really was. And you can tell from the reaction of the Indian captain that they just got over the line there. They were concerned.
So they had a little scare, the Indians, but they managed to hold on. New Zealand 6 for 130, falling short by 3 runs. And as we mentioned, moving to Monday's game now, all important for both Australia and New Zealand. The winner is probably going to take second spot and move into the semi-finals, because after that, there's only the one group game to go. So it's all to play for, with next week being the final week of the Women's World Cup, the grand final at the MCG, Sunday, March 8, Labor Day weekend here in Melbourne. Taking a look at the Sheffield Shield results, they all wrapped up yesterday. Some fascinating scores and some amazing batting by so many across the Sheffield Shield. The Victorians have got a second win in a row. They've come back from the Big Bash in hot form. So they finished yesterday with a bold declaration. 8 for 208, and Queensland needed to chase it down. Unfortunately, they were bowled all out for 310. Seb Gotch, the player of the match in the Victorian game, with the 102 in the first innings. In the second innings, he just made the 11, but did enough. Travis Dean, it was in the second innings, 96. And Queensland, who had to chase 355, as we mentioned, bowled out for 310. Joe Burns, 135 at the top of the order, but Peter Siddle, 3 for 89. Scotty Boland, 4 for 62 with the ball. Kept the Vics in play. They take, I think it's a full, is it 8 points from that game? It is 8.3 points from that game. So they're moving, still mathematically a chance to make the Sheffield Shield final. Western Australia have fallen short against Tasmania. This is fascinating. There was only a handful of balls left in the day's play yesterday. They needed 235, Tassie, and they got there.
Two left in his over. Payne goes bang and goes big. And where does it land? That's the question.
It's a four, Tubes.
That's four. No. It's plugged. And that is the ball game. Peter Newlands, Tasmania win.
There you go. Tasmania win. They couldn't work out whether it was a six or a four. The ball just plugged in the outfield. But it was all, they mentioned Tim Payne hit the winning runs there. But what about this? Cam Green, who Adam White loves and raves about, spoke about him the other day. 158 in the first innings. Bo Webster, who we're going to chat to very shortly on the program, 187. In the first innings. Fantastic batting from both of those two. And as we mentioned, Tasmania get the job done. 5 for 235 in the second innings. Bo Webster, man of the match. So fantastic result for them. And in the final of the Shield games, New South Wales take on South Australia. South Australia have fallen short. They bowled out for 269 in the second innings. They were chasing 403. And it was Daniel Hughes who scored a century in the first innings, 103 off 191, and then backed it up in the second innings. As we just turned the page here, trying to find 136 off 170. So that is absolutely fantastic stuff. And as we bring up the table to look at where everyone sits after the round of action, New South Wales sitting on top, undefeated, 40 points. They're probably on their way to a final. WA in second on 26 points. Queensland in third, 25. The Vics still at the bottom, 14 points. There's still a couple of games to go. And as Adam White said, mathematically, they are still a chance. Let's turn our attention to footy before we take a break. And Essendon started their March Series campaign last night against the Eagles. A lightning delay in the middle of the second quarter caused them to go off and have a pause for a moment. They did come back out and they continued on their merry way. 13-9, 87 to 14-11, 95. Eagles went down by 8 points to the Bombers. They'd be buoyed, the Eagles, by Josh Kennedy kicking 6 goals. Fantastic performance from him and Tim Kelly in his first outing for the Eagles. But we'll start with the Bombers and we'll start with Andrew McGrath, the former number one pick. He's very happy after Essendon got their season off on the right foot.
There's only one player in the room that had seen something like it, and it was Devin Smith. But we were a bit rattled by it, but both teams were in the same boat. You come out and you play footy. The game went a bit longer, but that's how it falls.
Yeah, it was good. We were trying to work on a lot of things tonight, and I think we executed them pretty well. We still have a lot of room for improvement, but I think our system held up really well tonight. I played mainly the first half in the midfield, and then sort of got shifted around a little bit, but that's what these games are for. Tries out different positions, and I hope I'll play a little bit more through there.
Andrew McGrath, 24 disposals. Last night, 14 kicks and 10 handballs. Played pretty well. Tim Kelly in his first outing with the Eagles, 27 disposals. His first one came in the opening 30 seconds, in which he linked it up with Dom Sheed at half forward. So very exciting for the West Coast fans. 27 disposals, 13 kicks, 14 handballs. Here he is speaking to Fox Footy after his first performance in the blue and gold.
Yeah, no, it was good. You know, good chance for the boys to get the cobwebs out and work on some things we'll be working on over the summer. So, unfortunately, it didn't go our way, but, Essendon boys were good. They got the jump on us early, so, well done to them. You know, it's been, mid to high 30s the last couple of weeks, and I don't know where we get hit with the storm. So, it is what it is. I think, both sides handled it pretty well. Yeah, look, it took me a little while to get into the game. Sometimes that happens, but, you do my best to find a way. So, happy with the way I finished it off, but, hopefully you start well. Start better next
time. There you go. Tim Kelly in his first outing, 4,302 people at Lath Lane Park last night. And as we said, early in the second quarter, they were sent off because of lightning and thunderstorms around the area. There was probably about 10 to 15 minute delay before they came back out there. And Adam Simpson was asked about that in the press conference after the match, whether it had any effect on the game or on the result.
It was an interesting game, wasn't it, with the weather doing what it did. We got jumped really early in the contest and work rate, so that was disappointing. But we worked our way back, and it was a bit of a grind in the end of the whole day. And they looked just a little bit cleaner at stages. But we'll take some positives from the day. Some individuals. I think we came away pretty injury free, which is important. And we've got some work to do as well. So probably around about what I thought we'd be at. We're missing, I don't know, Essendon are missing players as well. But on our journey, we're missing probably 5 A graders. So it's great to give our kids some opportunity. Bailey Williams stood up, I thought, at stages, which is great. Got to see Tim play and connect with Luke and the rest of the mids and Nick. So, yeah, we'll probably walk away with a glass half full with no injuries and some things to work on. Look, when you start at a new club, it's going to take a little bit of time to adapt. So, and we weren't playing very well either. So I thought he got better as the game went on. Probably ended up with mid to high 20s, set of possessions, a couple of fumbles like everyone else. And the story won't be about Tim every week. He's just one of our midfield group that probably lowered their colours for the early part of the game and worked their way into it.
And the Eagles were without Jack Darling. He had a cheek injury, as we've mentioned a couple of times, across the summer. And Oscar Allen missed with an ankle injury. For the Bombers side of things, Michael Hurley didn't feature in the final term, seen with ice on his left calf, but I can't imagine anything too serious. And Jacob Townsend went off late, but it didn't look like anything serious either. Will Schofield, he's going to face a nervous wait over a high bump on Dylan Scheel. Speaking of Dylan Scheel, 29 disposals and 5 clearances was the best of the Essendon midfield. Dan Jordan, the Essendon assistant coach for the night, spoke at the press conference last night about the performance of the Bombers.
We really wanted to just come over and have a really good hit out against a good side and, you know, probably find out a little bit of things that we've been working on over the pre-season. So, we're happy to come away with hopefully a cleaner bill of health and, getting some miles into the legs for a first hit out for a few of the guys and particularly those guys that's been well documented coming back through from injury, getting great minutes into them and them finding some footy as well. You know, we were pretty good around the contest. I think, you know, we won the tackle count by sort of 9 out of 20 and we asked our boys to compete. It's been a focus for us over the pre-season and also their connection piece with each other and be predictable with each other and how they wanted to play. And, I thought we saw some great examples of that tonight. And, it's always good as a coaching group when you see things that you've been working on in pre-season coming to fruition on a game day. Yeah, look, we've always, the last couple of years had some exciting methods of moving the footy. What we try to do is probably have a bit more variety in how we want to move the footy. So, it's not a matter of sort of run and gun all the time. We want to have different methods of attack and have some variation so that, we can be a good side and be consistent against sides who play different defences and have different strengths and weaknesses.
That's Dan Jordan, the Essendon assistant coach. Tonight, footy continues, but it's the State of Origin. All the attention is going to be at Marvel Stadium at 7:50. The All-Stars up against the Victorians. Yesterday, they had their training run together and captains were announced. Damien Hardwick has called on his Richmond captain, Trent Cotchin, to captain the Vics, while Nathan Fyfe will captain the All-Stars. We'll hear from Nat Fyfe in just a moment, but here is Damien Hardwick ahead of tonight's big clash.
I think you're probably going to see a game that is a bit of a throwback game. You know, whether it's 120 to 140, there's probably a chance of that. I don't think it's going to be a dour type of affair. So we're just looking forward to the players putting on a showcase of the skills of AFL footy for such a terrific cause.
So there you go. Expect the scores to be 120 to 140, somewhere in there. Expect the rotations to be about 300 each because there's 9 players on each interchange bench, including the captain of the Vics. He's named on the pine to start the game. So we'll see if that changes by the time the ball is bounced. Nat Fyfe, the captain of the All-Stars, he's named in the centre alongside Scotty Pendlebury as his opponent. Here he is, honoured to be named the skipper of the All-Stars.
It was, incredibly humbling. I think we've got 3 or 4 captains or past captains in the side. Every player in the team at some level is a leader or in the leadership group. So it's more of an honorary position than anything, but very humbling nonetheless. Any opportunity you can rub shoulders, you get to rub shoulders with the best. I love. I'm geared towards preparation and performance, so I'm always trying to watch and observe and see how other guys go about it, and if there's anything I can pick up on or potentially impart to some other guys. I think it's a great environment to be able to get the best players together.
Can't wait for it tonight. Scotty Pendlebury's part of it. As we mentioned, he's starting in the centre alongside Nat Fyfe. He was asked yesterday about his memories of his former ruckman at Collingwood, Josh Fraser, who injured his knee in the anniversary match back in 2008. It's in the back of his mind, but he sees this as an opportunity to play alongside the best of the best.
When I was 19, getting to play, it was amazing to play with Judd, Goods, Favola, guys like that. And you just learnt so much just hanging out, getting to meet them, and then also getting throughout the seasons, getting to talk to them after games. You had that connection with them, so I hope it doesn't take an event like we've had to bring the game back. And I think the hardest thing for the game, though, is trying to find the right time to bring it. And hopefully tomorrow night everyone gets through, and then it's a, you know, sort of a fixture we could look at, whether it's every year, every second year, whatever it is, because as you can see, a lot of guys put their hand up to play.
I wonder if he was listening to Boomer Harvey yesterday, Scotty Pendlebury. Boomer suggested maybe every 3 or 4 years for a State of Origin type game. Ross Glendenning, the West Australian great, he's presenting the jumpers to the All-Stars, and he caught up with Mark Stevens on Channel 7 last night.
He sent me a text with John Longmire, can you ring me? So I did, and I thought, why would he be ringing? So, just a wonderful thrill.
Yeah, and you're going to fire up the boys tonight? Is there a bit of EJ that you can do, a bit of stick it right up?
I don't think anyone can do a bit of EJ. No, none of that. I'm very much in the background.
Ross Glendenning, bit of a straight shooter, won't be sticking it right up, but we're looking forward to it tonight at 7.50 at Marvel Stadium. You can watch it on Channel 7, Fox Footy, and on KO. We're 2 weeks away from the Australian Grand Prix, and Daniel Ricciardo will be back. He's hoping that Renault give him a car this year that entices him to stay beyond this year. He's out of contract at the end of the 2020 racing season. He didn't have the greatest of cars last year in his first year, but here's what he had to say to Fox Sports when he was asked about the Renault car going into the 2020 Grand Prix season.
I don't want it to feel like I've just come to Renault and, yeah, just, you know, got away from Red Bull and then looking for the you know, the next best thing. I really want to make this happen and make it work. And obviously the step to that is getting more out of this year than we did last year, and hopefully getting enough out of it that, you know, the journey continues beyond, you know, my 2 year contract.
Looking forward to the Australian Grand Prix kicking off the 2020 Formula One season. His former teammate at Red Bull is Max Verstappen. Now, he came second in testing behind Robert Kubica at the start of the second week the other day, and now he's spoken to Fox Sports as well in the build-up to this year's Formula One season, saying that Red Bull need to step it up.
Last year, sometimes we had a decent race car, sometimes qualifying was okay, but I think overall we need to step up, and I think we're working on that. And I think so far this year, the car is definitely an improvement, but it also has to be if you want to fight for the championship.
A couple of weeks away from it all, kicking off the Formula One season starting in Australia. Jeff Horn, he's up against Tim Zhu in 2 months' time, April 22, still yet to pick a venue. Not sure I would have had Townsville at the top of my list for it, but Jeff Horn says that's where he wants to fight Tim Zhu.
The stadium fights are absolutely magnificent. The aura in those venues are incredible, and I'm undefeated. So that's the key to it all. And I've seen that Townsville stadium, and it looks like a brilliant stadium, and I'd love to fight there. There's always that chance, but I guess fingers crossed it doesn't happen. I suppose we all sometimes have weddings and hope that the rain doesn't happen. We're not always that lucky, and hopefully for this fight, if it is outdoors, we don't have any of that trouble.
Can't wait. Looking forward to the trash talk between the two of them. If it's anything like Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, it will be fascinating to watch. April 22 will be that fight. That wraps up the Breakfast Bite for this edition and for this week. After 6 o'clock, Adam White, Adam Ramanaskis, the AFLW Coach of the Year. He's building up to a grand final rematch. Daniel Harford, Zach Murray, Ryan Fox, Bo Webster, Kate Bassett and Dean Lester. All on the agenda. We'll do it all again from Monday at 6. Here is Johnny Bowden with the 6 o'clock news.